You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with our Legal Corner, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. In a continuing series of sessions, we are once again visiting with Mr. Michael Rubenstein, the owner of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury practice serving clients throughout Los Angeles and Orange counties. Prior to graduating from Loyola Law School, Michael was ordained as a rabbi by a panel of prominent international rabbis. He uses his unique background as a rabbi and lawyer to help successfully represent his clients in a variety of personal injury matters. We are talking today to our Legal Corner expert, Mr. Michael Rubenstein, about automobile technology and whether it makes us safer. Mr. Rubenstein, always great to have you with us on the show.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me, Eric.
You're welcome. So, in your opinion, is newer technology in our cars helping improve public safety to get things going?
Well, Eric, let me preface my answer with a qualifier. I'm not an engineer or a safety expert or an automobile technology expert. I'm an attorney who handles Los Angeles car accident cases. So I can give you my observations based on my studying the matter through representing clients here in LA and through reviewing some of the research that's out there. For example, the Automobile Club's Foundation for Traffic Safety publishes reports periodically on various technology issues. For example, they've studied the lane departure assist warning technology. The takeaway that I'm seeing is that technology always has the ability to improve safety, but it just doesn't take away the need for having an engaged driver behind the wheel.
Now, when you say an engaged driver, can you give us an example of what that actually means?
Sure. Like I mentioned, many cars are coming standard now with this lane departure warning system. Cars are coming with all sorts of bells and whistles. What the car does, it makes a beeping noise or an alarm goes off in the cabin when a driver starts veering into the adjacent lane. These type of collisions can actually be quite serious. I just handled a case that settled yesterday, actually, where a Jeep, my client was driving a Jeep, and the Jeep got catapulted onto its side, which means two wheels, the two right side wheels of the Jeep, fully left the roadway surface, and the Jeep was kind of, if you will, popping a wheelie. This all happened when a distracted driver improperly merged into my client's lane at a high rate of speed. So these collisions can be pretty serious. The Foundation for Traffic Safety estimates there are about 1.6 million of these type of crashes across the United States every year. So bad things can happen when a driver accidentally veers into the next lane or negligently veers into the adjacent lane. With the beeping noise and alarms, they don't stop the driver from veering into the lane. They just try to get the driver's attention to make corrective actions. The problem is many drivers get annoyed by the beeping. Some even turn it off because they get irritated by it. It's you know, loud, and it can be quite obnoxious when your car's beeping. And also, a lot of drivers don't know how to properly operate the system. So in reality, it doesn't really prevent collisions at all. The purpose is to get the driver's attention, obviously, not to stop the collision. So the technology has the ability to assist the driver, but if the driver is going to disregard the warnings or turn them off or not use them properly, they're not accomplishing what they're supposed to do to help avoid collisions. So the driver has to be alert and engaged to make the proper adjustments while driving.
Makes a lot of sense. And what about backup cameras? Are they helping to prevent accidents?
Well, backup cameras are very important. In fact, they're so important that by 2018, a couple years away, all cars in the United States, federal law will require them to come standard with backup cameras. And we're seeing most cars now coming with backup cameras. Newer cars are already featuring this important technology. Nevertheless, I've handled many backup cases where the offending car had a backup camera and it didn't stop the collision. The problem is too many people rely on the camera and they just stare blankly at the screen as they reverse out of their driveway or parking spot. It's not the camera's job, obviously, to prevent the collision. It's the driver's. You know, backup cameras don't capture the entire scene, the entire wide field of vision, what's going on behind a parked car. Won't necessarily capture a speeding car moving left to right down your cul-de-sac, but looking over your shoulder, scanning your surroundings will. So that's what I say, the driver has to be engaged too. The backup camera is a tool to assist in the overall reversing process, but it's still the driver's job to make decisions and to operate the vehicle safely. I know experts also advise drivers to do a walk around the car before getting in and backing up just to make sure there's no debris or anything underneath the car. And also the camera's angle may be low to the ground, but there may be something lower underneath the camera's angle that won't be captured through the camera's screen, like a child riding a scooter or one of those low-to-the-ground children bicycles. There might be other obstacles under the car, like a ball, baseball bat. You might have seen your neighbor's cat resting there, cozy. You know, it's warm and shady under there. So it's a good idea to always check if there's any foreign obstacles, debris under the car. Make sure to avoid collisions and that sort. So overall, the camera is a very important safety tool, but it's just another example of important technology that shouldn't take the place of an engaged driver.
Certainly some wise and practical advice and information in all regards. Today we're joined by Mr. Michael Rubenstein, owner and founder of the Law Office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury law practice that represents clients in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California here on Enterprise Radio, once again a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Mr. Rubenstein, can you tell us anything about self-driving cars? Are they really something the public can look forward to?
You know, that's a great question, Eric. We have been hearing a lot about this issue in the news. These cars, you call them self-driving cars, they're also known as autonomous vehicles or driverless cars. Google has been working on one for a long time, as have other technology companies. Lyft, the ride-sharing app company, is in a partnership with General Motors. They're both exploring driverless technology. So driverless cars could very well be part of the future. It looks like social policy is going in that direction. And obviously the goal would be to prevent car crashes. In 2014, more than 32,000 people were killed in America in car crashes, according to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Obviously, the goal is to substantially reduce this outrageously high number. The NHTSA, the National Highway and Transportation Safety Administration, is planning on unveiling a framework of rules to try to guide regulators across the states to develop, you know, more of a uniform rules for autonomous self-driving vehicles. And because, you know, national guidelines are important instead of having a patchwork of conflicting laws from state to state, because it's an important issue here. And I know President Obama's administration recently announced $4 billion in grants to study self-driving cars and to help come up with these national guidelines. And I mentioned that, you know, states are having trouble coming up with rules for self-driving cars. California, here where I am, for example, California's put the brakes on self-driving cars, pun intended, if you will. Regulators here want all self-driving cars to come equipped with steering wheels. Now, some of the self-driving technology that's out there now includes cars without steering wheels. So California imposing this is disturbing for some of these technology companies because it's going against what they're trying to do. California also wants a requirement that all driverless cars must have a licensed driver in the vehicle at all times to take over in the event of an emergency. So, again, California is imposing these rules here, but if we have national guidelines, that could make it easier for driverless technology and automobile manufacturers across the country. I know that once driverless cars do become available, it's going to take a few decades before they fully infiltrate the mainstream. You know, people are still going to be driving their older cars, and so it will take a significant amount of time before driverless cars replace the current fleet of automobiles that are out on the road. Bottom line, Eric, I think it's too early to tell, but the future could very well include self-driving cars. It's an exciting time. If it helps prevent accidents, helps prevent tragedies, then it's a good thing. I look forward to studying this evolving issue, and I encourage all your listeners to as well.
Most definitely. We will continue to look forward to these developments. In the meantime, where can our listeners learn more about these important issues?
Well, I maintain a blog on my website, rabbilawyer.com. My blog is called Tort Talk. I often write about technology and cars with my twist on California law, since I'm licensed to practice here in California. And my website is rabbilawyer.com. I'm also available on Facebook at Rabbi Lawyer. They can send me a tweet on Twitter at Rabbi Lawyer, as well as Instagram hashtag Rabbi Lawyer.
Certainly got the bases covered. Well, Mr. Rubenstein, it's always great to have you, and thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me again, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Michael Rubenstein, owner and founder of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury law practice that represents clients in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California. And you can learn more by visiting his website and reading his daily Tort Talk blog at rabbilawyer.com. Just as mentioned, follow him on Twitter at Rabbi Lawyer, Facebook at Rabbi Lawyer, and on Instagram, hashtag Rabbi Lawyer. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.